for about 2 weeks, and it did not change. I stayed the course, and I'm going to share today as long as I feel like I can. And if I run out of anything to say or I get tired, or the Holy Ghost says now, we'll stop midstream and pick back up later. Is that in a good agreement today? That's about as good as I can give you. But I want to talk about spiritual renewal today. And I believe with everything within me that God wants you living in victory for Him. The Bible reminds us, and the Scripture says in 1 Corinthians, thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory. If I had to take a survey here this morning and ask you if you are living in the victory today, on a scale from 1 to 10, as we often get scaled, I wonder how many in the room would be capping a 10 today and say, preacher, I'm stepping in high cotton. It couldn't get any better than it is. Can I see your hand? Right there's one. Praise God. I'm going to hang out with you. Anybody else? I'm going to hang out with this little one back here in the back. Hang out with these guys. These people with your hands up. But for the rest of us, I would dare say, if we were honest, you would like to step up a notch. You'd like to get a little bit closer to God. You'd like to feel the joy of the Lord, Brother Beckner, a whole lot more. And that you would renew your relationship with God. When I began to read the Scripture, several places all throughout the Scripture, there is these words, if you will, that minister to me. And one of those is found in the book of Acts, chapter number 3 and verse 19. And this particular verse of Scripture is verses of Scripture that we've actually read and talked about so many times. And it talks out, and I'm not going to talk about repentance today necessarily, but it talks about in that verse that you've got to repent. And as a result, as a reaction from an action, he says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, and that the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. There are these words in the Scripture that speak to my heart. Words like refreshing. Words like renew. Words like those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. The book of Galatians even reminds us not to grow weary in well-doing. In due time you shall reap if you faint not. When I began to think about this service and think about this message a few weeks ago, honestly, I began to think about it like this. There's a possibility for every saint of God to need to be renewed. To go back to that place, to go back to that origin, to go back to that original place, if you will, when you and God first had an encounter. Anybody remember the joy of meeting the Lord for the first time? The joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. The joy that comes to you when you think about the name of Jesus and there's something on the inside of you that begins to leap. My God, I feel Him already. I'm supposed to be calm today. I think Jody's got a little electric button in this power mic over here, and he's over there buzzing that thing. But you think about the renewal of the Lord. You think about the fellowship of God. You think about that. When Paul begins to write the Scripture in two different places, he begins to write this in Romans chapter number 12, and he opens this up. And as Paul begins to write this, notice he's talking to the brethren. Romans 12 and 1, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, if I had time to break all of that down, we would break all that down, but I don't want to just park the bus there and stop. Verse number 2 comes and he says this. And he says, and be not conformed to this world. In other words, do not be molded and don't be formed into the world's mold. Now, I don't know how you feel today, but I feel the pressure just like you do. This sick world that we're living in is trying to form you and reform you and to make you think like the world, act like the world, look like the world, and be like the world. But the Christian is supposed to renounce the world. We're not supposed to look like the world, act like the world, think like the world, or be like the world. My God. I don't want to look like this world and be like this world and look like this world. I want to be that Jesus made me to be. I'm not trying to fit in with the world. And the Bible has told us in the Scripture that we're to be transformed. We're to go through this transformation. We're to be going through this metamorphosis, if you will, to be converted and to be changed and to become what God wants us to be. This ain't my notes. This ain't my notes nowhere. It's easy to live like the world. It is easy to fit in. It is easy to take on the fashion of the world, to look like the world, to act like the world, to be like the world. And when I use the word world, I mean it earthy. I mean it in the sense of worldliness in the world, the cosmos and of what we're living in today. It's really easy to just fit right into that. But I was reading earlier today, just breezing back through everything, and the Bible reminds me that He's coming back for a glorious church. A church without spot or blemish or any such thing. He's not coming back for a church looking like the world and acting like the world and being like the world, living like the world and doing all the things that the world is trying to get the church to do. Now maybe I'm getting a little bit out there a little bit with you today and stretching myself a little bit. But I want to tell you something, friend. It's time for you and I to understand that if we're going to live for God, God has not called you and I to conform to this world or this world's system. I'm going to be a mean old preacher right here. This world will do nothing for you but send your soul to hell. And God has called you and God has called me. How are we going to do this? How are we going to be in the world but not of the world? He tells us. We have to have a transformed mind. Our mind has to be reformed. It was there in the beginning. And again, I don't have time to talk about everything that I'd like to talk about. But our mind, my friend, they used to say on the television, the mind is a terrible thing to waste. Adam and Eve lived in a perfect environment. The enemy of our soul slipped in and they began to compromise the standard of God and they began to debate whether or not God had said what God meant or meant what God said. And before long, they were eating of the fruit and the serpent showed up. Anytime you begin to have a conversation with the enemy of your soul about the standard of God and God's Word, you are headed as a train wreck into trouble. I don't compromise God. I don't compromise His Word. What God has said in His Word, it is not for us to have God to conform to us, but we're to conform to what God has said. This is where we have gotten in trouble from Adam to Eve and all the way out throughout history. And my friend, every person in this room, as David said, that I was shaped in iniquity. I was formed and shaped in iniquity. I was shaped in a fallen world. Now there's another part of that story with David that I don't have time to get into. But yet we understand that David said that we are living in this world. And yes, that's thunder and lightning. Hallelujah. We're in a dry building. I don't know about this buzz box now, Jody. It might really get real up here in a minute. Hey, y'all settle in. It's raining and you ain't going nowhere. We might as well sit a while. It's pouring the rain and we're going to praise God anyhow. I'll let you know when it's quit. I can see out the back door. Somebody says, I don't want to drive home in the rain. I might get that 2-hour message. We may take a recess and come back. But he says transformation. The renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So if we're going to be renewed as a person, if we're going to have this new person living on the inside of us, it starts with renewal. Jesus wants to do a work in your mind. He wants to do a work in your heart. He wants to do a work in your life. Now, let me step forward in this. When you begin to think about Paul and Paul's writings, Paul did not stop there. Paul also said in the book of Ephesians, and I'm actually going to turn there because I've got it marked in my Bible to turn there and actually read this with you. Ephesians chapter number 4, this is what Paul began to write again. He says this as we pick up in verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you henceforth, watch this, walk not as other Gentiles walk in the emptiness or the vanity of your mind. Let everybody understand here today that God has a purpose for your mind. Your mind. Your mind don't belong to the enemy. Your mind don't belong to the devil. I don't have my cell phone up here today, but you can look up anything. I was thinking about this just a few days ago. Used to, they had these great big monitors and great big towers and all this computer stuff. You carry this thing around in your back pocket now. And if we're not really careful, everything we look at on a computer screen, everything we look at on a phone screen is affecting your mind. I remember a friend of mine when he was in college one time, he was typing on a computer and evidently he had done something wrong and the professor walked by and he tapped on the computer screen, the monitor, and he said, "Listen, that's not right." He said, "Listen." He said, "Always remember, if junk in, you're going to get junk out." So whatever you're putting in your mind is what your mind is going to become. Are you with me today, church? And we look at this in the scripture, and Paul was saying, he says again, as these others that walked in the emptiness of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. An empty mind, a mind that is filled with vanity, is a mind that is alienated from the life of God. Wow. Through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts, the Bible says, who being past feelings have given themselves over to lasciviousness, uncleanness, to the work of uncleanness and greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. They have not learned Christ. This is the vanity of their mind. This is the life that they lived before Jesus came into their heart. This is the life that the larger majority of our world is living in today. That is why the United States of America, watch this, is the largest producer of pornography than any other country in the world. And you think we're doing okay in America? No, the America that we used to know is not the America that is out there now. I'll get more into that a little bit later. But we see this, as the Bible says, if verse 21, he says this, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Look in verse 22. Spiritual renewal takes place right here. The Bible teaches you and the Bible teaches me in the scripture. And if I had time, I'd turn there and actually read it to you, but I'll tell you where it's at. Because it's in 2 Corinthians 10, I believe it is, to where we bring every thought into captivity. If you think a thought that you ought not be thinking, take authority over that thought instantly. Don't dwell on it. Don't think on it. Don't let evil find a seat on your heart today. Don't let evil find a parking place. Bring that, you know what, I didn't even think about that scripture earlier, but I've got to turn there and read this for a second. I didn't even think about it earlier because I've got so much to do today that I'll never get it all done. But look at this scripture. This is 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. Look here at the bottom of this verse. Because this is what he says. He says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Look in verse 4. 2 Corinthians 10:4. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but the mighty through God to the pulling down of stronghold, casting down imaginations. Those thoughts that are against the gospel. Those thoughts that are against God. Casting down imaginations. Throwing them off. The word casting is like a cast net. Throwing them off. Getting rid of it. The old mountain preacher would say, get shed of it. Shed it like a snake shedding the skin. Get rid of it. Get push it off away from you. Don't entertain thoughts that are ungodly. Don't entertain thoughts that are compromisable. Do not entertain thoughts that you know that would lead you into the abyss, if you will, or into a dark, dark place, spiritually speaking. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Now bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ Jesus. Bring every thought. Every thought. You say, well, preacher, how in the world is that possible? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because again, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, this is what the Bible said. He says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. I quit thinking like I used to think. Your thinking will lead you to action. Your thinking will lead you to deeds. It's a seed in your mind. It's a seed in your mind that ends up in your heart. And then it becomes the action of your life. And God says to you and me as a Christian today, the Bible, again, he talks about this. Therefore, if any man be Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. I'm a new person. I'm a new man. I'm a new boy. I'm a new girl. I don't have mama's religion or daddy's religion. I'm a free thinker for myself. I want to be saved because it's the right thing to do. I don't want to be saved just to escape hell. I don't want to be saved just to have a little fire insurance. Come on, somebody. I want to be saved because I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus. How about you? Sorry, the youth camp came out in me just then. Y'all remember that chant from youth camp? Oh, I could go with it right now, but I'll save my energy for something else. It's not just to escape hell. It's to live a life, Sandra, that's pleasing unto God. It's a life of pleasing Him. And you say, you know, Moses even made this declaration where it was said about Moses that Moses chose to serve God rather than to enjoy the sin of Pharaoh's house for a season. Sin may have its season. Sin may have a time that you kick your heels up and you may enjoy it for a season. But every bad seed will have a bad root that will produce a bad fruit. Come on, somebody, help the preacher today. Every bad seed will have a bad root that will produce a bad fruit. You say, you act like you know what you're talking about today, preacher. I personally have watched other people ruin their lives by thinking that they were smarter than God, that they were more intelligent than God. Hey, let me tell you something, friend. For every sin that is committed, there is a consequence for that sin. It may not happen immediately. It may not happen next month. But I promise you, somewhere along the journey, if you sow a bad seed, you're going to get a bad consequence. I don't care how long it takes. It's going to do it. If you plant a cucumber seed in about 3 months, Brother Sparks, what are you going to get? You're going to get cucumbers. You put a squash in your garden. Guess what? In about 60 days or less, you're going to start getting some squash. You throw a pumpkin in your chicken lot, and about a year later, you're going to get a pumpkin plant in your chicken lot. Because the seed, y'all didn't even get that. The seed's in the ground. I got a big old volunteer pumpkin something taking over my backyard right now. I'm just going to let it grow. It's got a pumpkin about that big on it. I'm just going to let it grow. What are you talking about? I'm talking about a wild seed. Come on, preacher. A wild seed is still going to produce. I threw that pumpkin a year ago probably over that chicken lot, and it went right in that chicken lot. And the chickens enjoyed it. But now I got a big pumpkin vine in my backyard. What are you saying? I'm saying if you sow some seed, you're eventually going to get the product of that seed. Let me get into this message. All that was free, didn't cost you nothing. Look in verse 22 of our text. Again, it is Ephesians chapter 4 and 22. This is what the Bible said. And I'll try to stand right here the rest of the time and be real nice. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Verse 23 admonishes us, and the Bible says in verse 23, that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. I know that. You can speak life, you can speak death. But I'm going to go a little bit further and tell you that life and death over your life is in the power of your mind. If you allow the enemy of your soul to come in and poison your mind, your whole entire life will be poisoned. The Bible again teaches us how this is going to happen. How is my mind going to be renewed? How is this going to happen in my life? Verse 24 tells us how this happens. That you put on the new man. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. When you put in the new man, guess what happens? You are renewed. You are renewal. Anybody ever done any restoration work? And when you think about renewal or restoration, it's the implication that means to restore or to put back into the state of its original being. I want to be like Jesus. What about you? I want to be like the man that God created a man to be. Sin corrupted me. Sin deformed me. I never was a quote unquote bad person, but I knew enough about my life when I was 16, 17, 18 year old doing the things that I was doing. And I knew every day that I was going to get deeper and deeper in trouble if I didn't turn my life around. I knew that everything around me. I watched other people. I seen their lives. I seen what it was doing for them. Brother Robert, I knew I need to get my act together. Sin deformed me. God, the Holy Ghost, Jesus reformed me. You say, well, Eddie, what does he want to do in this room today? You may be a saint of God. And you might not have sinned for the last 25 years. Bless your heart. You might not have ever thought nothing bad. I mean, you have lived the epitome of an angelic being. Almost heaven, I mean, just right up. I said that a little facetiously because you know what? Every person in this room is subject to sin. I don't care who you are. And you know, we need God to renew us every single day. So there's four things. I'm going to skip a whole lot, and I'm going to move, and I'm going to finish up. So what do we need renewal in today? We need renewal in the family. I've seen on Facebook, I don't know, several times, many times I've seen it over and over, and I thought about it, and I was going to try to find the picture, and I couldn't find just the exact picture I was looking for. And maybe this is a reality. Maybe it is somewhere. I don't know where it is, if it's a reality. But I seen on Facebook this picture, Sandra, of this elderly man had on a pair of overalls, bibbed overalls. Young people, you may not know what that is, but look it up online. It's still online. But he had on a pair of bibbed overalls, and he had his wife, and he had three or four youngins, and they were down on the side of the couch, and they were having prayer time. And I thought, that's never happened in my life as far as growing up or anything like that. Maybe it did in yours. But we need to see the family renewed again. There used to be a cliche. You've heard it. The family that prays together stays together. Now they say the family that plays together stays together. Well, I believe playing's good in its right place. But I do believe that families need to be renewed. Families are falling apart. Brother Chris last Sunday talked about this a whole lot. And I don't have the time to really talk about everything that I studied about that. And one of the reasons that, according to some study and some stuff that I was looking at, and it said, one of the reasons that the three top reasons that families in America are falling apart is, number one, materialism. They've pushed God aside. They won't come to church, and I'll get into that in a minute. They'll make every excuse under the sun why not to come to church, but yet in the same regard, neglect their family to go do everything else that needs to be done except spending the quality time with family. Families, again, when you think about this, the main three threats to families today is, number one, is materialism. Working overtime and neglecting the children, neglecting what needs to be done in the home because of the simple little word, more, more, more. The second thing they said is why that families need to be renewed and why is a threat to societies today is just secularism, which simply means it is being influenced by the world rather than influencing the world. Again, society and secularism, again, moving in on the family as we've never seen it before. When we began to look, and there's so much I'd like to talk about today, and I don't have time to talk about, but I wanted to get into this part. Maybe I can pick up the other part a little bit later. But there's not a person in this room that would not agree with me that the families needs to be renewed. God designed family to be the basic building block of our society. As the family goes, so goes the society. God deemed it that way. And God said that it is not good for man to be alone. And God made a woman for the man. I'm going to get in trouble. You already know. I don't need to even say it, do I? God did not make man for man and woman for woman. I don't care what TV is saying. That God made the family unit, man, woman, multiply, produce, procreate. A man and a man cannot procreate. The family unit is under attack today because as the family unit goes, so goes the world. A family where children learn about the Lord Jesus Christ. They learn about the love of God. They not only learn that, but they learn how to love one another and care for one another. And they learn as they grow up to be responsible, loving adults. And again, we ask ourselves this question. Do you believe that the families in America and around the world need to be renewed? Absolutely yes. The American family, as God has designed the family, has went through drastic changes over the last 50 years, and there's not a person in this room that would not agree with that. When 50% of all marriages end in divorce, because of materialism, secularism, and again, when we think about, again, the last one was negative media influences, the third one. And the media today will show you portraits and pictures and show you these things of how that families should be, but yet they never show you the plan of God in a Judeo-Christianity and the values that God has placed within the heart of a family. One man, one woman, and children. I don't even want to get off on that part because I heard Dave Reaver this week as I was listening to him talking about the same students when they took prayer out of school 30 years ago, 25, 30 years ago, when they took prayer out of school, is the same students then, teachers now, that have absolutely no biblical morale or any biblical knowledge of what the Scripture says. Because I remember in high school, the students had the opportunity. I never did do it. I was a heathen. But I listened at 8 o'clock when school would start. They would pick up the microphone in the office, and they would have the little button on the stand, and they would push. And guess what happened at 8 o'clock every morning, Monday through Friday? They would have family, they would have school devotions and prayer over the school. Have we got a need today for family renewal? Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Again, as we've already stated, that 50% of all marriages today end up in divorce in our country today. Because our society today at large, they don't know the difference between love and lust. And oftentimes they will not weather the storm. Love, as I've already stated, love will cause you to weather the storm of life. The percentage of single parents in the United States has tripled since 1960. Adoption and parenting by same-sex couples has become widely accepted in our society today. Cohabitation, and we talked about this a little bit last week. Brother Chris mentioned this. Cohabitation is just another common word today for what we used to call shacking up. When I was growing up, you didn't shack up. Well, we want to try it out for a while and see if we're compatible. That's called dating. That's called going to the restaurant and getting a hamburger and a soda pop, getting a milkshake, talking a little bit, collaborating, finding out if you're compatible. If you ain't compatible, the time to separate is before you ever say, I do. Come on, somebody, the preacher's preaching. And then we think about this. We think about cohabitation. Again, just another word, a commonplace word for shacking up. And growing numbers of children today are born in unmarried couples. Materialism, again, when we think about materialism being more and more and more happier with technological gadgets and designer clothing than we are the quality time that we can possess and spending time with our children and putting a priority on wrong things. I think the rain slacked up, so I don't see anything bad going on out there. I don't hear no thunder. So let me just share these three fast with you. This is what I thought about. This didn't come out of no book or nowhere. It's just what I was in my heart. So we need a renewal to the family. Moms, dads, I've made a lot of mistakes. Somebody says, well, they don't come with an instruction book when they're born, do they? Yes, they do. That's it. Wherein shall a young man cleanse his ways? By giving heed to the word of God. Teach them. I like what Bob said. You train a horse. You train a dog. You teach your children. Teach them. Let them grow up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Second thing is this. We need a renewal to the faithfulness to God. And by that I simply mean this. There's other scriptures that I had time and I'm skipping over so much. Ephesians 5 verse number 8 says this. He says, for you were sometimes in darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. You're saved now. You're no longer tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. You're saved now. So he says this, walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And then he goes on and he talks about this, and he says, seeing then that we walk circumspectly, which means upright or whole, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. In other words, we need a renewal of our faithfulness to God. I'm going to shake this bush here for a second. I don't get to say this much on Sunday morning because this is a two-sided thing. First of all, before he starts playing, let me say this. The Bible teaches us to reprove and rebuke and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. But here's the line. Here's the line that the preacher walks on. You ready for this? Before, don't not yet, Jody. I want them to hear this. Here's the line that the preacher walks on. Are y'all ready for this? Fasten your seatbelt. This ain't going to be fun. You're one offense from walking out of this church and never coming back. All I got to do is tick you off on the wrong day by something I say or something I do as a pastor, and you'll throw your hands up and you say, if that's the way it's going to be, I won't be back. Do you not know that the devil will make sure you get offended? Yeah. Don't you know that the devil's going to do anything and everything to irritate you and to get on your last nerve? That's the tightrope I walk on. Woo! We need a renewal of our faithfulness to God. Brother Charles, we used to sing a song in the church. I ain't going to try to sing it right now, but I'll hum it along a little bit. And it used to say, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree planted by the water. Oh, I shall not be moved. Somebody says, well, we don't sing that no more because that's not current and that's not relevant. And let me tell you something, friend. Those are the chants that I remember, and it puts some stability in me as a youth, as a child, as a young person. Come hell, whatever might come my way, I'm going to serve God. Like it, lump it, jump it, clump it. I don't care. I'm going to serve God. And you don't pastor 30 plus years and not have a few bumps in the road and do the things that Sherry and I have had to go through and a lot of personal issues and not get sick and tired of being sick and tired and throw your hands up every now and then and say, my God, I can't take no more of this. I'm just going to go back out here in the world and do what I was doing before I ever got back in the church. No, 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 no. When the enemy comes and the storms of life blow, you know what the Christian does? Buddy, you just button down the hatches. My anchor holds. Come on, somebody. You just reach down real deep on the inside of your soul. You say, hey, there's a storm coming, but great God, greater is he that's within me than he that's in the world. Let all the hounds of hell roar. Let all the hounds of hell come against you. But as far as me and my house, there is nothing going to move me because I love God and I'm going to be faithful to God no matter what comes my way because I serve him. And God, I'm going to serve. The world didn't call me and the world didn't save me. And I'm not going to serve the world and I'm not going to go back out into the world. Look to your neighbor and say, bear down. Sometimes you just got to bear down and hold on. Come on, somebody. We need to be faithful. We do our faithfulness to God. I think the rain's about stopped. Third thing, we need to be renewed and have a renewal to the local church to build a community of faith. Not to be committed to the local church to build Pastor Green a large congregation so he can strut like a turkey and say, look at the big boy now. No, that has never been my position, never been my thought, never, 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 never. Not an arrogant bone in my body when it comes to that. I'm committed to the local church to build the community of believers that will destroy the works of darkness. Can I tell you something? You're needed here. I don't care if you don't do nothing but pray for the preacher. You're needed here. Because this is your home. This is your house. People here love you and people here care for you. It's your place of being fed. It's your place of where God's put you. Don't ever believe the lie of the devil and make the devil make you believe that nobody cares for you down there at the Thomasville Church of God. Even you walk online today, the devil will tell you, nobody down there at that church cares about me. Don't raise your hand, but you've had the devil sweet talk you and put that in your ear before. We need a renewal to the family. We need a renewal to our faithfulness to God. We need a renewal to the local church. You need to pay your tithes to the local church. You need to be found faithful. This lady told me one time, now pastor, she's at Waynesville. Now pastor, I tell you now, I'm not going to pay my tithes here. I'm going to attend, but I'm not going to pay my tithes here. Pastor Hagee gets my tithes. I said, let Pastor Hagee come from San Antonio and visit you in the hospital when you're in the hospital. Brother Wes, this happened. God is my witness. I was in Waynesville. Sister Bird was her last name, Bird. Hey, God is my witness. She ended up in the hospital. She couldn't drive. She called me to her house. Will you come and get me and take me to the hospital? You know what Pastor Green did? Pastor Green jumped in his car, went and got her, took her, dropped her off at the hospital where she wanted to go. Why? Because I love people. But you need to be faithful to the local church. You need to renew your commitment. Oh, I wish I had another hour, Jody. I'll just quit right there for a minute. Fourth thing. Y'all say, how many of these you got? Just a few more. We need to be renewed to the mission field. To missions. You say, well, the missions in Ecuador, the missions in Peru. No, we need to, the United States of America is the biggest mission field. Right here. We need to set aside funds in this local church that's spent on nothing but soul winning. Nothing but soul winning. Whether it's through media, however we do that. It got said one time, you can look at a church's checkbook and you can see the commitment of that local church. I'll leave that alone. But it's a simple fact. We need to be renewed to the mission field and everybody in the room. We need to be renewed in paying your tithe. Because the work of God cannot go on without the faithfulness of the people of God. The last one here is simply this. And I just drew a blank. You'll get that after a while. You know what we need? We need a renewal to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. It's not antiquated. You say, why do we need that? Why do we need that today? We need to be filled and baptized in the Holy Ghost simply because of one thing. Because the Bible said that you shall receive power. Everything that I said, my friend, we need the Holy Ghost to do. He said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me. God needs you full of the Holy Ghost. Full. Every day, and I'm done when I get done with this. Every day is a day to be renewed. Every day. I don't know about you, but every day we get out of bed. Is a brand new day. Yesterday's gone. What I did yesterday's gone. But Sister Lori, I need him today. Every day I need him. Every day, Dallas, I need him. Every day, Julie, I need him. I appreciate today. I appreciate this moment. But you know what? If I get up in the morning, Sandra, I'm going to need him again. They that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and walk and not be weary, and they shall run and not faint. Come on, somebody. God's going to be, you're going to be just like the Easter bunny as you stand with me. The Energizer bunny on that battery commercial. You're going to just keep on going. We can't do this, church. I can't do this. So here's what I believe that God wants to do. I know it's late. I think the thunder and lightning's gone. I was given a thumbs up there a minute ago that it's safe to leave now. I didn't want to send you out in the storm. Come on, somebody. Laying all jokes aside, we can't make it without Him. I have to do this. Somebody says, well, I remember when people used to come to church and praise the Lord. I remember when preacher used to preach and people would raise their hands and people would shout Him down. People would get excited. Well, can I ask you something? Who's they? Who's they? They used to shout when they come to church. Who's they? Me and Brother Cain and that little short guy back there in the back, Raymond. We had that conversation last night. It's always easy to say they and we used to. We used to have church. We used to have evangelistic Sunday night services. We used to. Well, who moved? I'm not mad. Just sort of little excited. Who moved? You come, you pray, you get after God. You quit saying they and you say me. God, I'm going to raise my hands. I'm going to worship You and I'm going to praise You. Well, it's not my style. It's not my flavor. It's not the way I like it. It ain't about you. It's about Him. And I tell you something. If we'll just begin to praise Him and glorify Him in spite of all the everything else, hey, God will get the glory. And the glory of God's going to come down. And it ain't going to make no difference about you and your flavor no more. Because we're going to be in the glory of God and the power of God. So let's say this from now on. Here I am, Lord. Renew me. David, King David. That harp playing, that giant killing, that man of faith that said to that Philistine, come on over here, big boy. I'm going to cut your head off and I'm going to parade it into Jerusalem and I'm going to show them what the power of God is. That same man, David, that was a man of faith, fell and became a man of flesh. Little old Bathsheba. Woo! Flesh. The eye gate. That man of faith came to a man of flesh. But he came to the place in Psalm 51 and 10 that he realized, hey, I can't make it without God. I have sinned against God. I have done wrong. I am empty on the inside. I have backslid. Brother Steve so often has said, I backslid sitting on a church pew. You can backslide sitting on a church pew, friend. That man of faith became a man of flesh. That man of faith became a man of flesh. And that man of flesh decided he needed to be a man of faith. Psalm 51 and 10, he cried out to God in repentance. And he said, God, renew in me a right spirit. Oh, God, renew me. Renew me, God. I have fallen. I have faltered. I have become a victim of the flesh. And that's where the church is today. We've become a church of the flesh. And I say, God, renew Your church, renew Your people, renew me. God, help me to be the person that You want me to be. Don't let me be a church that is fleshy. Let me not be a church that's after the things of the flesh. And I'm talking about the church as the body, that we're not after the things of the flesh as a body, but we're after the things of the Spirit. So, Father, You see today everything that's been said and done. God, I carried this for 2 weeks. 2 weeks, God, I carried this in my heart. Oh, God. And God, You've spoken to us today. Father God, You've spoken to us. Oh, God, we renounce the hidden things of darkness. We renounce the hidden things of the flesh today, God. We ask you, oh God, in repentance, Father God, today, Lord, to touch your people today. God, to renew your people today, Father. To restore your people today, Father God. To restore your church. God, we cry out for renewal. We cry out for you today, God, to do, Lord, like you did in days of old, God, to move, to shake, God, to help us to be your people. God, that we would love you as we've never loved you before. We worship you as we've never worshiped you before. And God, that you would do a work. That you would do a work in our lives, oh God, even right now, from every person under the sound of my voice. God, as we ingest this, we take it into our spirit today, and we say, Holy Ghost, would you have your way? Would you just do a work in my life today, God? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. People of God whispering a prayer. If you would say today, Holy Spirit, would you renew me? Would you do a new work in my life today? Just slip your hand up. And I'm going to say, God, every hand is raised today. God, you see them. God, would you hear their cry? Would you hear their plea today, Father, to renew their homes, their families, their marriages, their lives? Holy Ghost, would you do a new work in our home, in our families, in our children, in our youth? God, renew us today. God, as we surrender our lives to you. In Jesus' name, God, would you grant it today, Father? Would you grant it today? Would you grant it? Now, let me say this, and I'm done. I've often heard it said, and I hope the other preachers in the room would agree with me. God is a gentleman. Oh, it's pouring rain again. It started back. Y'all sit down. Just kidding. God is a gentleman. God's not going to force you to do anything. But God will woo you and God will draw you and God will speak to you in that still, small voice. If you're running from God today, you're not going to run far enough to get away from Him. You may be wild as a buck this morning, but being wild as a buck don't keep God from finding you and reeling you in and putting a hook in your jaw and drawing you unto Himself. But I'm going to tell you something. It's a whole lot easier. It's a whole lot less painful if you'll just say, Lord, here I am. Y'all go home. Y'all be careful. It's pouring the rain again. If you don't need to go right now, just find a prayer closet and stay till evening time. We'll just pray and fast today and hang out at the church. Y'all have a good day.